Basically, the purpose of this training is to have a conversation with traditional leaders as to their functions and duties under the current laws and the current legal structure of South Sudan. And as you have said, the training forms part of UNDP's Access to Justice and Rule of Law project, which seeks to support the development of the rule of law sector in South Sudan. And our approach essentially takes cognizance of South Sudan's dualist legal system, wherein you have both customs and formal justice structures operating side by side. But we also take fact of, key recognition of the fact that 80% of cases are heard and determined by customary courts, and it is therefore important that the skills of customary leaders are sharpened, especially in relation to the current dispensation. And therefore, what the training covers is basically, the competences and jurisdiction of traditional leaders, human rights approaches to distribution of traditional and gender justice, as well as mainstreaming juvenile justice, into the work that they do.
Right. Thank you so much, Roland. Now, moving on to Chief Elia. Yes, you are a traditional leader. So just tell us some of those practices that you think may not align with human rights standards here in South Sudan.
This one, a lot of things. And right after this training we attended, the training seemed to be valued and most important. Due to one thing only, an additional to customary law and principle. Before, we doesn't have human right included in customary law. And as the training has been valued to recognize the right of women and the juvenile.
Great. Now, Sultan, from this training that you've learned here when in Juba, after the training, when you go back, how are you going to handle cases differently than what you were doing before?
Right. We are going to handle office in additional to juvenile must be protected before the law, before the customary law, including the women, right? And is to be treated equally, regardless of sex and everything. When I was attending the training, this training of this couple of 2-3 days brought all the people from all the counties, 13 counties, and I appreciate even the selection which has been done. And as we're going to the ground, we can do better than the previous years. And we're going to help our people to come to the one level. Women, juvenile, treated as equal right.
Great. We'll come back to you, Sultan. Thank you so much for that elaboration. Now, let's talk to other guests from UNDP. Just briefly, tell us, why is it important to harmonize the two laws, like customary and statutory laws?
Okay, thank you very much. Before that, I think I just want to reiterate what Sultan has said, that the training has, included participants from various counties, 13, but this is just the Jubek version of the training. There are other trainings which go on during the year in other parts of South Sudan, including areas as Tori, Tiambio, Bor, Awel, Mowau, etc. But specifically to your question, we have inherited a system wherein you have the immemorial customs, that is the laws and traditions which were practiced by the peoples before the advent of colonization and the introduction of statutory laws and the constitution. And therefore you have two systems running side by side. And therefore it is very critical that the competencies of both systems, be clarified, because both systems are very real and they are not going to disappear and they're not going to go away. So basically, when we talk about harmonization, what we're saying is that the application of the systems needs to be clarified, the issues of which type of courts address which types of dispute needs to be clarified, the issues of where cases start and where they commence and where they end needs to be clarified, as well as the issue of what we call conflict of customary laws. I'm sure you're aware that we have 64 ethnic groups in South Sudan, and that you have intermarriage, you have people moving around for trade and business, and therefore the questions as to which customary law applies when you have people from various ethnic groups involved in dispute or in conflicts needs to be rationalized. And I mean, this is the position. Essentially, how do you do this? We recently had a session wherein there was an attempt to amend the Local Government Act, which regulates the relations between customary courts and the formal courts. And in that process, you have various modalities which, you know, were introduced by way of amendments so that you were able to have a situation where the competencies of the courts are clarified, and the regulation of the relationship between the judiciary and the customary courts are clarified.
Right. And Raymond, just point out specifically some of the inconsistencies that you have identified that you would want to put right, probably during this training.
Well, for me, I usually regard the issue of inconsistency, as a misnomer, because the Constitution and the laws are very clear. The Constitution provides that you have various sources of law, and these include statutory law, these include customary law. But the Constitution is also very, very clear to the effect that the Constitution is the supreme law, is the supreme instrument, and therefore any other law that is inconsistent with the Constitution is null and void to that effect.
Right.
So in terms of speaking of inconsistencies, probably this is what you speak to in terms of the practice. But if you have any practice that is inconsistent with the Constitution, which is a higher law, or which is inconsistent with statute law, then it means that that practice is either illegal or is unconstitutional.
Right.
And how do you go about resolving this? It's about having a conversation. It's about having further law reforms, but it's also about having litigation in the courts so that the courts are able to enforce the law as it were.
Right. Thank you so much, Raymond. Sultan Aliyah, you have talked about when you go back to your county, you are going to make sure that the juvenile and the women are treated equally. So previously, what are some of the inequalities that would come in as you go about your local court sessions?
Yeah, before there is a little bit or very big marginalization to women, even the juvenile.
Right.
And due to one factor, chiefs are brought from only men. This is one thing.
Okay.
Lastly, when people are exercising the law, men, they favor themselves as men and escape women, you see. For example, if you come and attended one of the court, that a woman summoned his husband and I've got some dispute. Previously, our customary law cannot justify even though the woman has got the right. This is one thing as to my observation. And it's good enough that the training, we acquainted a lot, and we're going to put it in practice.
Wow.
And the difficulties in every sort of work, people can face challenges due to change now. We include now human rights is included into customary law. This is one thing and got to be challenging. And after, when we stick on telling people what is right and what is wrong.
Right. Thank you so much.
They can come to the level and they can understand lastly, and this is the change of which people is to be equal regardless of sect.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sultan. I mean, we are running short of time. We only left with 2 minutes to leave this place. So now, very briefly, Roland, last year, yes, the same training happened. What are some of the achievements as regards to resolutions that you achieved?
Sometime last month, I went to Yambio, and one thing that struck me was that there were female traditional leaders sitting and hearing cases.
Right.
And this is one of the objectives that we have, you know, been trying to achieve. There's an increase of traditional leaders who are women. Who are, you know, are sitting and adjudicating cases.
Yep.
This is very important in that you were able to have natural justice in courts. That is, you're able to have women litigants speak up and have their issues addressed. But another uptick that we have recognized, which we think goes towards achieving our objectives, is more of the recognition of the competencies and jurisdictions. We observe that more traditional cases are referring cases over which they have no jurisdiction to formal courts.
Right.
And what this means is that we have an uptick from the trainings that we do. We also realize that we have more reasonable sentences, you know, in the traditional courts. And I think these are all very, very crucial issues in terms of respect for human rights, but also in terms of respect of the Constitution.
Right.